Good morning. It's nice to look out and see your smiling faces. We're glad for this opportunity to worship the Lord. Well, we're beginning our next 90 years. We've been celebrating the past 90 years, but there's a sense in which we are embarking upon the next 90 years, however long the Lord may tarry. And I thought that this really seemed like a good opportunity for us to really do that in a purposeful way. And so I want to launch today, we're launching today a new sermon series called Building Upon the Foundation, the Firm Foundation of God's Word. So there's a sense in which we're doing this as a church, but as I've pointed out in recent weeks, we are the church, you and I. And so we build the church on a firm foundation when we build our lives as individual members of the church on a firm foundation. Jesus ended his Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon ever preached, by telling a story. He says this. He says, there were two guys that went out and they both built homes. They built them on different foundations. One guy went out and built his home on a solid foundation. The other guy, though, went out and built his house on sand. Then unexpected rogue winds came, the trials and the storms of life. The tsunami hit those homes. The winds came and the floods rose, and the wind beat against each of those homes. The rains came down. The house that was built on the shifting foundation of sand collapsed. But the house that was built on solid rock was able to withstand the storms of life. And then Jesus, after telling this story in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it's recorded for us there, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So again, over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to look at how do you do that? How do you build on a firm foundation so that your life will withstand the trials and difficulties that may come? And inevitably they do come. And in order for you to be able to handle it, you need to have your life built on that firm foundation. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 90 years. We don't know what's going to happen this week. We certainly don't know what the next few years may hold for us as a church or us as individuals. We don't know what the rest of this year will hold for us, but one thing I can guarantee you is this: you will have storms in your life. They're coming. You will have emotional storms. You may have health storms. You may have financial storms. And if you're not built on a solid foundation, you're in trouble. You cannot build your life on the opinions of others. You can't build your life on popular opinion. You can't build your life on the culture. All of these things change, and consequently, they are shifting foundations. You must build it on the unchanging truth of God's Word. So this morning, how do you build on a firm foundation? You build by hearing God's word, by hearing it. And so let's look at a couple of passages of scriptures here this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And then I'd also like to share a passage from James chapter 1, and this serves really as the text this morning that we'll be looking at length. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So there's a promise that comes with this passage. If we apply these things, if we do these things, we will be blessed in what we do. Again, that's James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Well, today begins this series, How to Build on a Firm Foundation, and we begin by talking about how we build that firm foundation by hearing God's word. Really, the answer to that question is to look at the way God created you. I mean, God created us with five senses. God created us with the ability to hear, to smell, to see, to taste, and to touch. And think about it. Everything that we know and everything that we experience in life comes through one of these five senses. That's how we encounter life. That's how we learn. That's how we grow and develop. Using all of these different senses. And that's exactly how God intends for us to encounter His Word, the Bible, using these senses that God has given us. We're talking about how to build your life on the solid foundation of God's Word. And if you're taking notes, the first way is receive it with my ears. Receive it with my ears. We're talking about hearing the Word of God. And more specifically, talking about listening and hearing God speak to you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God, through the Word of Christ. So every time you hear the Word, even as you are hearing it right now, your faith is being strengthened. Right now, your faith is being strengthened as you hear the Word of God. You're listening to the Word of God being taught, and that builds your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Let's look at a little more closely at what James says in this passage that we just read. And there's so much here in just these first few verses. First of all, he says, everyone should be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. If you're following along in your sermon notes or even in your Bible, I would encourage you to circle that phrase, quick to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which, pay attention, which can save you. It is the word of God that saves us, because it's the word of God that tells us about Jesus and the plan of salvation. If you don't hear the good news, you can't be saved. So James says, be quick to listen. That's using our ears. That's using our sense of hearing. And then he says, accept the word. That word accept, by the way, in the Greek language is the Greek word dokomai. It's a word that has to do with hospitality. It literally means to welcome. And in this case, to welcome God's word. It's as if we're saying, come on in, word. I'm wide open. You are welcome here in my heart and in my life. There's another interesting word in James. Another word that James uses, and that's the word planted. Often the Bible compares the word of God to a seed. And the seed is the word of God, and the soil is our hearts. That's what the parable of the sower was all about. And in that parable, Jesus says, receiving the word is like receiving a seed being planted in our life, or being planted in our heart. Now, if you haven't noticed, I like to plant things, and specifically flowers. It's a labor of love. I've learned that you could take the exact same seed and plant it in three different locations, and you're going to get different results. In one location, you might get a really big, beautiful flower. In another location, you might get a little flower. And in another location, you might not get anything. The difference is not in the seed. The difference is in the soil. The soil must be prepared for the seed. You have to break up that soil. You need to put fertilizer in there. You need to mulch it. Little Miracle-Gro, I find, helps. The soil has to be prepared. And it's the same way in our lives. It's the same way. If you want to hear from God, if you want to hear the word of the Lord, your heart has to be prepared. If you come to church and you stayed out late the night before, and you get up late and you're rushing to get here and you're all kind of frazzled, you're probably not going to hear God's voice. You're not in a very receptive mood. You're not prepared. One of the things that I appreciated so much about Jody, when our kids were young, she went to great efforts to make our Sunday mornings peaceful and calm. She would start on Saturdays laying the clothes out for the kids, ironing them if they needed to be ironed. And so when Sunday morning came around, it wasn't this rush, hectic kind of experience. As a matter of fact, she had things so under control that I would usually leave the house and go to the church several hours before the service would start, and she managed things at home. And that was such a blessing to me. We were prepared. And I think it's so important that we prepare our hearts so that we're ready to receive the Word of God. Excuse me. And that's why what I'm talking about here is why you can have two people sitting in church, maybe even sitting side by side, and one will walk away after the service is done saying, "Wow, that was really a great service. I got so much out of that." And someone else might walk out saying, "Well, I didn't get a thing out of that." What's the difference? The difference is in the preparation of the heart, in preparing your soil. And the reason why preparing is so important, it enables you to have good reception. If you're prepared, you'll have good reception. And good reception requires having a good attitude. And there are four characteristics of a good attitude. We'll share those in just a moment, but some of you here may remember those antennas that you used to have to put on your television. We called them rabbit ears. And sometimes you'd kind of have to move that around to get, a little better reception. And the same is true in our lives. In order for you to hear God, you've got to have good reception. And good reception is a matter of your attitude. So I want you to write down these four attitudes. In order to have good reception, you've got to be quiet. For good reception, to hear God speak, we've got to be quiet. It says there in James in those first few verses, "Be quick to listen and slow to speak." You've got to be quiet. The psalmist says, I believe it's in Psalm 46:10, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." So you can't hear God if you're always talking. So to have a good reception, we need the attitude of quietness. We need to be quiet. Secondly, we need to be calm. It says there in those first few verses of James, and slow to become angry. Be quick to listen, and to do that, be quiet. Slow to speak, and slow to become angry. When a person is angry, what do you often tell them? Calm down. Calm down. So being calm is kind of the opposite of being all worked up and being angry. And you don't hear God, you don't have very good reception when you're angry. By the way, this week I read that listening can actually lower your blood pressure, and speaking raises your blood pressure. The next attitude that will improve and help our reception is be clean. James puts it this way. He says, "Get rid of all moral filth and evil," the evil that is so prevalent. What James is saying is that there can be junk in our lives, trash in our lives, that will hinder us from being able to hear the voice of God in our lives, to hear from God. When that junk is present, when there is sin that is piled up, we can't expect to hear from God. And so we need to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Before you plant those seeds, for instance, you've got to get rid of the weeds. You've got to get rid of the junk that's in the soil. If there are rocks, if there are weeds, you've got to clear them out. In other words, when I go out to plant a garden, I don't go out and just start planting. The first thing you have to do is you've got to break up the soil. You've got to eliminate the rocks. You've got to pull the weeds. You've got to, and in this neighborhood, you've got to get rid of the cigarette butts and the chewing gum and everything else that people have left behind. Spiritually, James says there are two things that we need to get rid of in order to have better reception in our lives. Get rid of filth and get rid of evil. It's an interesting word, this word filth. In the Greek, it is the Greek word riparian. And it actually is the word, it's the same word that is used for earwax. It's that stuff on the end of your Q-tip. That gross stuff. And so James is saying, literally here, you've got to get rid of all the earwax. That stuff in your life that's hindering you from being able to hear from God. The point is, you cannot hear God if you've got junk in your ears. Or junk in your life. You've got to take the trash out. And we have all kinds of earwax in our lives. Emotional, spiritual, mental, ethical. And you can't hear God because you've got this junk in your life. It plugs up, it blocks the reception. It plugs up and blocks your ability to hear from God. And so James says, get rid of it. Get rid of the filth, get rid of the sin, get rid of the evil, which is, by the way, anything that we know in our lives that is wrong. Get rid of it. You've got to get rid of it before you can hear God. In our house, we have to take the garbage out a couple of times. Take it out about every couple of days, really. And before you can meet with God and hear from God, you've got to take out the garbage. You need to get rid of the spiritual garbage. The stuff that kind of stinks in your life. And you're not going to hear from God in your mind if your mind is filled with resentment, with bitterness, with pornography, with jealousy, or any other junk that may be there. You've got to get rid of it. And the way you get rid of it, the way that you take out the garbage spiritually, the Bible has a word for that. It's confession. That's how you take out the garbage spiritually. It's through confession. Confession, by the way, literally means agreeing with God. It's saying, God, you're right, and I was wrong. That's confession. When you admit that you were wrong and you say, for instance, Lord, I was wrong. It was wrong for me to say that to my kids, or it was wrong for me to say that to my wife. Please forgive me. That's confession. That's taking out the garbage. In fact, the word confession, the Greek word is homologeo, which means, homo means the same, and logeo means to speak. So confession means to speak the same. In other words, the same as God, to agree with God. God, you're right, and I'm wrong. That's confession. And that's how you clean out the spiritual garbage in your life. So to have good reception when God speaks, you need to be calm, you need to be quiet, you need to be clean. But there's one other thing. The fourth thing is you need to be humble. That's the fourth thing that James says. He says, humbly accept the word. So what does it mean to be humble? Well, it spiritually means to be ready to do whatever God tells you to do from His Word. That's humility spiritually. Let me give you the opposite of that. To be prideful spiritually, to have a prideful attitude, would be to say, God, You tell me what You want me to do, and then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to do it. That's pride. And that's often how people relate to God. Lord, you tell me what You want me to do, and then I'll think about it, and I'll decide whether or not I'm going to do it. That's not the way to receive from God. We need to receive humbly. We need to be ready to do whatever it is He asks us to do from His Word, to come humbly. Okay, so these are some spiritual hearing aids, okay? All of these things will help improve your reception, help you to improve hearing from the Word and from God. We receive God's Word through our ears. We hear it, and we hear it by being calm, quiet, clean, and humble. That's a good way to get the Word of God in your life. But that's only using one of your senses, okay? So here's the problem with that. Now it is a good way. It's one of the ways that James mentions. We need to hear the Word. But here's the problem. You only remember about 5% of what you hear. In other words, you forget 95% of what you hear, and you do that within 72 hours. You know what that means? By Wednesday, you're not going to remember anything that I said here this morning. That's why we encourage you to take notes. That's why I go to the trouble every week to include that sermon notes insert in your bulletin, because you're only going to remember 5% of what you hear. So hearing is a good way to get the Word of God into your life, but you're going to forget 95% of it, so you've got to move to deeper ways, to other ways, to get God's Word into your life if you're going to build a firm foundation on God's Word, and we'll talk about two or three more of those ways that you can build that firm foundation next week. All right? So let's put away our notes. Let's grab the hymnal if you'd like to follow along there. The words will be on the screen, though. Again, our theme for the next few weeks is going to be building on the firm foundation of God's Word. And so it's fitting that we sing these hymns. We began this morning by singing Standing on the Promises, and we'd like to close by singing about the wonderful words of life. Let's stand together. Number 222, all the verses, Wonderful Words of Life. Again to me, wonderful words of life.